Today we are going to look on one of the parables, which is entitled The Parable of the Mustard Seed. And it is coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And the parables that I chose, they also have two verses actually. So we will not have time like to read so many verses, very short. So this one for today comes from Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 to 32. I'll read and then we are going to pray. The Bible reads, "Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. Verse 32. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of the garden. Of the garden plants, it grows into a tree and birds come and make nests on its branches." Let's just pray together. Lord, we are so grateful for this time. We pray that Holy Spirit, may you open our ears, open our hearts, that we may be able to learn, oh God, your word. Give us clarity and understanding. Thank you, Father, for this fellowship that we are having together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so just as we may know, the main focus of Jesus in this parable is about the kingdom. And so he presented a series of parables to talk about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven in other versions. And so he brings on this one, the parable of the mustard seed, which illustrates the expansion or the growth of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the question might be asked to say, okay, what is the kingdom? So, as we may know in simplicity, the kingdom is a place or a domain that is led by a king. That is a kingdom, or a country or a domain that is led by a king or a monarchy. That is what we call a kingdom. Maybe I can give an example to illustrate that more about the kingdom from the British government. In the past, growing up in Zambia, though I was born during the time after independence, but I, after reading history, I've come to discover about the influence of Britain in Zambia. So when Britain took over Zambia, everything that is done in Britain by the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, she made sure that everything also was implemented. The same system was implemented in Zambia. Instead, when we follow, like, we remove the English, the monarchy part, okay, of the colonial government, my names are simply Mulenga Mubanga. And then I also have another Bemba nickname, which is Mutonkoro. So Mulenga Mubanga Mutonkoro. Those are my names. So Stephen, as far as the Bemba kingdom is concerned in Zambia, does not exist. But when the kingdom influence of the British came, they had to give us their names. Okay? So we are given the English name. So I'm Stephen Mubanga Mulenga. Of course, Mulenga, it doesn't really work well. I didn't even include it. So what I'm simply saying is that even the government of Zambia, the system in which it is governed, it follows the British way. The way we speak English, we follow the British. That's why I found a lot of trouble when I came to America, because the English here, you know, it's like most of the things are used opposite. You know, the other time, you know, John was telling me to get something from the trunk. And then I was wondering, what is the trunk, you know? So where I come from, the trunk, you know, we call it the boot. That's what you call the trunk here. I can go on to talk about different examples. For example, The trousers, here you call it pants. And where I come from, when you say pants, those are undergarments. So, you know, what you call underwear here, though that's a crazy example, but this is how extreme, you know, things can be. So, that influence of the British came and indoctrinated us. That was of the British kingdom. So what happens is when a kingdom is in authority in a particular region, it dominates and it indoctrinates. Its system of leadership, it also implements and infuses in the people that it takes over. Coming back now to our portion of scripture. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed. Now this seed, it is planted, and after it is planted, it begins to grow. It grows, and then it turns out into a plant. From a plant, it becomes a tree. After becoming the tree, and then we see that the birds of the air, they come and then they begin to put nests in it and occupy it. Now, it is interesting to find that Jesus is using the mustard seed as an example. The mustard seed, it is a very small seed, very minor. So he draws that example to say, look, the smallest seed, when it is sown into the ground, it is nurtured nicely. In the end, it grows up into a big tree, which also provides other shelter to other birds of the air. What was Jesus communicating? As I earlier mentioned at the beginning, that Jesus was teaching about the growth of the kingdom. Now, I want to take some time to just explain a little more about the image of the seed itself. Now, the definition of a seed, I can take it to say a seed is a product and a producer. Okay? A seed is a product and a producer. So, when we bring it economically, seeds are also used in economics. Talking about the language of investments. Okay? So it is a small investment with large potential value, an essential detail, a step in a continuum of reproduction. Now, when we look at that, we are going to see that when I was researching more to get an understanding about this, I went in Genesis chapter 47, you know, the story of Joseph being in charge of Egypt. And the Bible says that after they stored the grain, the people used to go and buy seeds. So actually what they stored there was the grain before they could talk about food to secure the economy, okay? So most of the time when we talk about seed, it's not only limited to church. When we talk about the seed, you know, planting the seed, it's also used in economics, so we can understand it in that dimension. So as I've already said, it is a product and a producer. A product because it is produced from a fruit. And then after that fruit has been produced, when it becomes of age or it ripes, you eat the fruit and then there is a seed again, which you are going to extract from it. You sow the seed, and it's also going to produce. So it is the product and the producer. Double coins. I hope that makes sense. So Jesus was saying that the kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed, the smallest seed, which was planted. And all of a sudden it grew. Now bringing it to Christianity, we know that the seed which the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here is the seed of faith. Okay. The revival, the Christian revival by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, started in a minor way, in a despised way, full of opposition. Whenever Jesus was preaching, of course, some people could believe in him, but he went through a lot of opposition. Others were like, ah, no, this is not going anywhere. It looked insignificant in the beginning, but Jesus was speaking prophetically also in this parable, because I also studied something that there is also an element of prophecy in it, because it talks about the future, the possibility, the potential, you know, which the seed carries along. And so after he went through all this opposition, it looked like it wasn't going to go anywhere. Even the disciples had a very difficult moment to follow him. They could follow him at times, you know, they would change their minds when they hear the teachings are becoming difficult. In John chapter 6, we hear that when Jesus talked about now of him, you know, of giving the people his body to eat and then his blood to drink, many of them thought of him to be a cannibal, and they said, ah, no, how do you tell us to do such things? Then they deserted him. The Bible says that a great number of them deserted him. And he turned to the disciples and asked them to say, do you also want to go? Do you also want to leave me? And Peter said, where can we go, O Lord? Your words are life and the spirit. So in the beginning, the movement of the kingdom of God, the way, the movement of the way, as it was called in the New Testament at the beginning, seemed to be insignificant. But little did people know that seeds were being planted. After Jesus Christ, you know, had taught the disciples, he rose from the dead, went into heaven, the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. From there was massive revival of fire and expansion. And up to today, the very fire that was kindled at that moment is still burning. Now, I want us to understand, to say, even in the same way, when we look at a small seed, in our eyes, we despise it. It is small. It doesn't look promising to grow into a tree that is going to become an habitation for birds or for other people. In the same way, we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a Christian, you begin to serve in the church like this. It doesn't really make sense, you know, at the beginning. As you begin, you know, it's like you're wondering to say, is there any change? Am I making progress or not? It begins in a small way. But eventually, as you press on and on, without realizing, you discover that when you take an inventory of yourself, even before you do that, maybe other people will just begin to tell you to say, hey, man, you've changed. There is a lot of change in your life. We never knew that you could be like this. That is the seed of the kingdom of God. That is the influence of the kingdom of God. So to pinpoint the kind of seed which we are talking about here, this seed is the word of God. As we know up there above from verse 1 of chapter 13, there's a parable of the sower. Different seeds were cast into the ground. And Jesus Christ interpreted the seed to be the word of God. So, this is the seed we are talking about. Now, it is very easy for us to read like this and say, oh, yeah, the small mustard seed was planted and then it quickly grew. It looks as if, you know, it happened in the split of seconds. It was planted and grew into, you know, something big and birds started coming. No, it took the natural process. So we need to pay attention to that. It didn't happen overnight, but it took the natural course, the natural process. There is the time of planting, and then there's the time of the seed being in the ground. After some time, the seed springs out. From there, it becomes into a shoot. You know, it comes out, and then it begins to grow into a small plant. That doesn't happen in one day. Only the plant during the time of Jonah grew up miraculously overnight by the Lord's divine miracle. But the one I'm talking about here follows the natural process. Okay? And so eventually, over the specific period of time, it became a plant turned into a tree. Now, the reason I'm pointing out that is that I want us to understand that even this expansion, the growth that comes in our lives as believers, as disciples, does not happen overnight, but it takes the process. And that process involves a lot of work, okay? It involves watering. First of all, it involves planting, and then it involves watering. It involves tendering, taking care of the garden, of the tree itself, and also protecting it. For example, if you plant a tree or a plant, and then you expose it, maybe animals like cattle, you know, they come and trample upon it. Let me not talk about cattle because it's not realistic in the city of Pasadena. Let me talk about human beings, okay? You plant a garden, and all of a sudden somebody is passing and then they step on the crops. What is going to happen on the plants? They are going to die. But you, as the gardener, you make sure that you are going to fence around. At least so you put something to say, okay, if somebody wants to go the other way, you say, hey, even the children, you tell them to say, don't go there. There is a garden there. You are going to destroy the plant. That brings the issue of discipleship, shepherding, tendering the new believers, the upcoming Christians. That's why when we come to Christ, we don't just come to Christ and then all alone. You are just alone without anybody, and then you say, oh, hallelujah, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. There is no need for me to be gathering with fellow believers. I am growing in faith. I'm reading the Bible by myself. I'm praying. I'm doing everything. No, that's why we have leaders, okay? We have leaders. We have mentors who are discipling us to grow in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's about the seed. And then, as I said earlier, that the Bible talks about the smallness, a tiny thing. The seed was small. It wasn't just big. I want to encourage us as believers that as we embark on the Christian journey, not only on the Christian journey, even in the various things that we do, which concerns our lives, we start in small things. We start in small ways, in tiny ways. But as we persist, as we continue, we are going to see that we'll be making progress. We should follow the process. We should not rush it. Why is it important? Because you can't plant today and expect to harvest tomorrow the fruit from the seed. It doesn't happen that way. It's as good as becoming a Christian. I've always been saying this. You become a believer today, and then you want everything, the goodness, everything promised in the Bible to come upon you overnight. When you see a little bit of fire, you are like, I'm going to abandon this church thing. It is not working. I need something that is tangible. No. We need to go through the process, stage by stage. As we follow that process, we are going to see that our character is going to be built. Our faith is also going to grow. And eventually, we will become like, we are going to transition from sprouts, we'll become plants, from plants we are going to become trees. And then from being trees, we are going to begin to bear fruits. And what happens when the fruits are there, are available? They get eaten, they are shared, okay? Meaning other people are going to begin to enjoy our ministry. We'll begin to share the love of Christ. We'll begin to share, you know, our testimonies. We'll begin to share things, you know, different things to the needs, encouragement, and so on and so forth. So we need to follow the process. It's very important. Praise God. It might look insignificant at the beginning, but hold on, hang in there. Something is working out. It's as good as beginning a project, okay? Since I'm looking straight at Tammy right now, let me give an example of the ministry which she started. I remember she was talking about it. So I want to start this ministry, breaking the chains. It was just like a story, okay? And then she came and reported, oh, pray for me, you know, as the prayer ministry, I'm working on this. We prayed. And then later she came and said, oh, I've managed to incorporate the nonprofit. So from the seed of talking about it, the vision, then she made sure that it came into the process of incorporating it. And now we've been seeing testimonies, lives are being touched, and more yet to be touched. Amen. Even when Pastor Michael started VCF and other leaders, we've heard the stories when he's saying that, you know, they are used to meet in the houses, you know, from places, this. At that moment, the people were there, maybe without the eyes of faith, they could not know that VCF would be where it is today. Very insignificant. That's how, you know, the things of faith begins. But over the years, through fire, you know, challenges, and all the issues, people have come up to be mighty leaders. People have grown into men of God. People are still, you know, pressing on to influence others, even when they travel to go in different places. So do not despise the days of humble beginnings. The Lord Jesus Christ told us that himself. He said, despise not the days of humble beginnings. Amen. That is in Zechariah chapter four, verse six, I believe, or vice versa. He who despises the days of humble beginnings. So let's not despise that. We need to be patient. For the disciples to see Christianity growing, they had to be patient. So I categorically pinpointed by defining that this seed I'm talking about is the word of God. That was not just a mere statement. We need to understand that, because there are various kinds of seeds. Okay? In one of the parables, the parable of the tares, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about a farmer who planted the good seeds, and then while he was sleeping, an enemy came and planted the wrong seed along. And then when he woke up, after the rains and everything, the seed grew, and all of a sudden different seeds were coming up, and the servants were like, hey, didn't we plant the right seed? Where is this one coming from? Do you want us to uproot it now? And the advice was like, no, let them grow together. Because in trying to remove them right now, we are going to unpluck the good ones too. So what I'm trying to say here is that there are good seeds and also bad seeds, wicked seeds. There are seeds of righteousness and the seeds of wickedness. I'm talking about the good one. Avoid the bad seeds. which are sin, envy, murder, all sorts of sins. You can go on and add to the list. Those are bad seeds. Then let's plant the good seeds of love, joy, peace, caring for one another, and so on and so forth. Okay? Praise be to the name of the Lord. And when we look in the Bible, we are going to see also that the seed also represents the genealogy. Okay? We're going to hear phrases like the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, you know, and so on and so forth. That represents the genealogy. That's the image which the seeds invokes in the Old Testament. And so this image is a very powerful image of the seed. And in terms of the kingdom of God, we need to understand that the seeds are not meant to be kept, okay? Seeds are not meant to be just kept and stored. You just have them, and then you talk about them, and you're like, oh, I have a lot of seeds in my house. And you forget about it. Seeds are supposed to be planted. They are supposed to be planted. What I'm trying to say here is that every gift that the Lord has given you, that is a seed which he has planted in you through the word of faith, and you are supposed to use it. You are supposed also to begin to plant in others. Now, as I earlier defined that the seed, it is the product and the producer. When you come, when the first disciples came to the Lord, they did not stay there and kept the faith to themselves. They went ahead and shared the faith to the others, just as I earlier mentioned. And this process went on and on until today, where we are. So let that seed be shared in Jesus' name. We must follow even that evangelism process of the seed. Even in the church, when we look at the church, sometimes, you know, we tend to have this concept to say, okay, the church is just there to meet. Once you meet, you know, you gather, you pray, and that's it. According to the biblical definition of the church itself, in the Greek, ekklesia, it means the called out, okay? The called out ones. And then if I was to draw an image of the church, I would draw a building with the door, and then people are entering at the same time people are going out, okay? What is the meaning of that? People will come into the church, they get prepared, and then they'll go out to reach forth to others so that they may also come, get prepared, go out and reach out. It is a process.
Amen.
You know, we go on and on. So it is the exchange. The seed that you received, you pass it on. That's the good word to use. So we pass on the seeds to one another. Amen. That is the importance of the church. Mm-hmm. It's not just to be in one place. No. So that is the concept. Jesus Christ knew that when faith is planted, it must grow. And I know it is in all of us that whenever we touch our hands on something, we want to see growth. And when we see growth, that motivates us. Everyone wants to see growth. In our lives, we want to see growth. Okay? In everything, we want to see movement, progress. When it becomes static, we begin to get worried. I can give you an example right now. You know, we've been a little worried about our baby boy, Joshua, because he took time to sit. He sat around 8 months, and now he hasn't yet started crawling. This is when he's like trying, you know, to test. But all these, the four of them, at the age of Joshua, they were already walking. So following the normal channel, we are like, what's wrong with him? So they've been a little concerned. Until yesterday, you know, the doctor went and checked on Joshua, did the examinations and everything. He said, this is just his own kind, you know. Everything is just okay. It's just taking time. So that was comforting. You know, why? Because as human beings, at least we want to see progress. And then the most comforting thing, actually, I was comforting my wife to say, don't worry about it. Mom and dad, they say that among all their 9 children, the 10 actually, with the one who we lost, Stephen Muvanga is the only one who really walked very late, at 2 years. So I was telling my wife to say, Joshua is even, at least, you know, is even better. And when I started running, I was already prepared. So I started running and I've been running until now. So the process, sometimes it delays, sometimes it happens fast. And when, you know, the normal channel is not coming up well, we tend to get worried. Even in the church is the same. If there is no growth in the lives of people, if members are not growing, if no progress is being made, then we need to check ourselves to say, there is something that is going on. Sometimes it could be just ourselves. The leaders are trying by all means to give us the necessary ingredients that we need, but maybe it's just us, the way we receive. So that process of growth is needed in our lives. We are destined to grow. We should do not that. In everything that we do, we are destined to grow. We are destined to expand. Because God is not a static God. He's the God of expansion. Amen. Jesus Christ himself said the similar words. Okay. In the book of John chapter 12, verse 24, he said, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Okay? It produces many seeds. So Jesus was talking about growth. He was talking about his death, which was awaiting. He was saying to say, look, for this faith I'm preaching to you, for this kingdom I'm preaching to you, to grow, this seed which is carrying this kingdom must first fall to the ground, must die. And after that, there is going to be massive growth. Same thing, going back to the seed principle. We plant one seed in the ground. You can't take 100 seeds and then throw them into a hole and cover them. Then the plants are not going to grow properly because they are going to be striving for nutrients, you know, for the soil and everything. That's why we do spacing. But what I'm trying to say is that when we are planting, we get at least one seed or two seeds. I remember in the village, we used to plant three seeds if it is maize. Why? Because we knew to say, during the process of the seed, you know, trying to come up to take root in the ground and then springing up to the ground, it might be eaten by the ants. So it's better to throw three in there. If one is eaten, at least two are going to survive. If two are eaten, at least one will survive. So that is the principle. But basically, you can even plant one. And then when it comes out and it grows into a plant, the corn that is not, that is going to come out of one grain, it is going to be a cob, not so. That is expansion. One thing is planted and many is harvested to the glory of the name of the Lord. Even in the kingdom of God, it's the same thing. Now, let me summarize it in this way, in talking about the seeds. When we are talking about the seeds of the kingdom of God, as I've already mentioned, we should remember that the seed, it is the product and the producer. Seeds are supposed to be planted and they are supposed to grow. And then I also mentioned that the seed we are talking about, it is the word of God. I've also distinguished to say there are various kinds of seeds. I've mentioned two, specifically to say there are righteous seeds as well as wicked seeds. And for us today, my encouragement is that we should strive to plant good seeds. Amen. And then I've mentioned also that for the seed to grow, it takes a process from being planted into the ground, okay, springing out of the ground, becoming a plant, turning into a tree, reproducing flowers or whatever, and then fruits to the time of eating, sharing, passing on the oranges and everything. So there is that process. And I related that to evangelism. I related that to spirituality, that spiritual growth takes a process in the same way. We should be patient in the kingdom of God. We should be patient of ourselves. We should be patient of our friends. We should be patient of our relatives. I'm saying this because growing up in a family where people were not believers, and I was the first one, I had the temptation of trying to take it by force sometimes. You want people to change by fire, by thunder. Today you must come to the Lord, whether you want it or not. It never works that way. We need to be patient with people, okay? Even our workmates, our colleagues, anywhere, we must be patient with them. We should continue to plant seeds, little by little. I told you to say when I became a Christian, it took me 5 years to win my father, my dad to Christ. Five solid years. During that 5 years, it was a time of battle because dad could drink. And he wanted me to preach to him when he was drunk. And you know what that means. And before that, he was a staunch Jehovah's Witness. And when he gets drunk and then he calls you to say, come and preach the gospel to me. I knew to say, it's not the gospel he wants. He wants us to argue. Because that's when he could have, you know, that morale. But I kept on praying, presenting the request. You know, to the prayer warriors, the intercessors, pray for my dad, pray for my family. One day, 5 years later, because he was also listening to me and observing my life. He knew my life, you know, before coming to Christ. And when I told him that I've changed, I'm a believer, he wasn't sure. I wanted first to see. And when he saw the proof to say, God has changed my son, he also told me to say, my son, I'm now ready. Lead me to this God who has transformed your life. And from there, 8 more family members came to the Lord, and the Mwanga family has been saved to the glory of the name of the Lord. I always talk about that. I'm sure you know. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so it's a process. So we should be patient for one another. Sometimes, you know, we want to take it by force. You know, our colleagues, we just want to present the gospel to them. I've got a friend in Zambia, who is a brigadier general, one of, is a chaplain general of all forces in Zambia. He told me a story of how he does evangelism to the soldiers. It's different from the way we do it. So he was telling me to say, you know what, Pastor? For me, I find it very difficult to balance with people because as a military, when I'm preaching in the barracks, I've got this high rank. And when I go in any camp, it's by command. When I told them to line up, they will line up. I'll preach to them and I'll command all of them to receive Christ. Whether they want it or not, they'll raise their hand to Christ and they'll receive Jesus. So he does it in the military way. So I was telling him to say, wow, those are soldiers. And I wonder if some of them, they do it genuinely or they do it to obey you as their senior. But when it comes to us civilians, it's different. We need to be patient. Amen. We will not impose it, you know, on anybody to say, today is today you must receive Christ. No. Instead of us attracting them into this kingdom, we are going to repel them. So, this kingdom, it is destined to grow. It starts small and it begins to expand, little by little. In the same way, as we've been praying as VCF, every day prayer meeting, it started as a small thing. But there is the unquenchable fire that is burning through those prayers, through everything that we are doing as the church. And in the near future, we are going to see the results. There will be massive revival, there will be massive transformation in people's lives and families, and the testimonies are going to follow to the glory of the name of the Lord. But it takes patience. It takes discipline to cultivate. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to